Well, as we do give thanks to God today, I want to give just a brief message on Psalm 75. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 75, if you're using your Pew Bible, you can find this on page 618. Again, this is Psalm 75. Hear now the living word of God. To the choir master, according to Do Not Destroy, a psalm of Asaph, a song. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. Selah. I say to the boastful, do not boast. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with haughty neck. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment. Putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. The Lord bless the reading and also the preaching of this word. Now, as we consider a psalm like Psalm 75 on a day like Thanksgiving, we find this call to give thanks in the opening verses, or the opening verse. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. This is the reason Asaph calls us to give thanks. That the name of our God is near. And as we consider this call to give thanks because God himself is near, when we consider his name encompassing all who God is, it is a reminder that God, in all he is near to us, his people, and it is a reason for giving thanks. And this psalm gives us, kind of breaks that out, this nearness of God in three different aspects. And so this morning we'll be looking at this call, this application to give thanks to God for he is near in those three different aspects of God's nearness. And first of all, in verse 1, we are called to give thanks for God's nearness seen in his wonders. We're called again to give thanks for God's name is near. And then in the last line of verse 1, we recount your wondrous deeds. This idea of recounting is exactly what we're doing today. We've sat here already and we've recounted ways that we are thankful for God in what he has done for us. And we are thankful to God for who he is and the love that he has shown us and the grace that he has shown us through the good times that he has brought into our life and also in the difficult, unexpected circumstances as well. We are recounting. And here, Asaph in this psalm calls us to recount the wonders of God. And the wonders are broken out in the rest of the psalm, referring to his judgment and his redemption. It is as we consider the works of God throughout history, we see that he is working this work of bringing judgment upon the wicked and also bringing redemption to his people. And the wonders that we see that God has done in his displays of powerful deliverance and judgment in the pages of Scripture, thinking of the Exodus as one. These wonders reveal the nearness of God because things like the Exodus were done because God was near to his people. He remembered his covenant. He heard their cries and their pleas. And so the wonders that we see in Scriptures and the wonders that we see around us all reveal God's nearness to us. It's been mentioned today in the times of prayer and thanksgiving, the creation that we can enjoy around us. Even that, we can see God's nearness to us in his powerful hand, in his wondrous creative works. There have been times where we've been eating, and I've mentioned from the pulpit before of the variety that we have in our food, and we'll all be feasting in a little while today, and the various things that will be on our table and the various flavors that God has given to us to enjoy. He could have given us pellets to eat, just a continuous supply of pellets, and yet he hadn't. He shows his goodness to us, and he's given us wonderful, delicious variety of flavors to consume. All these things show that God is a God who is near, and is the reason for giving thanks to God. So we give thanks to God for his nearness revealed in his wondrous works. Secondly, we give thanks to God for his nearness seen in his sovereignty. And we see this through verses 2 to 8, where God here begins speaking. He intercedes in this psalm, and God is the one speaking in verses 2 to 5, where God is saying that he has set a time, an appointed time, that he will judge the earth with equity. But as God speaks, and then as Asaph responds in verses 6 to 8, we see God's sovereignty displayed in three different ways. First of all, in verses 2 to 3, it's God's sustaining hand, his sovereign sustaining hand, even in tumultuous times. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. Selah. Now, as we consider God's sovereignty in his sustaining hand, it's important for us as we consider our lives and our world tottering in various ways, whether that's changes or things we're dealing with in school, or things or changes we're dealing with in work situations, changes that we're dealing with in our own family lives. Maybe it's medical diagnoses or unexpected things that have come along. These various things that come into our life and seem to totter our world. It is God who is the one who sustains it. He is the one who is sovereign. He is control, even when it looks like the earth is tottering in all its inhabitants. We also see in verses 4 to 7, God's sovereign hand in establishing those who rule in the earth. He says to the boastful, do not boast. To the wicked, do not lift up your horn. This idea of lifting up a horn is one who is being lifted up in power, in rule, in governing. And then it is not from the east or from the west, not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. You know, we see God's nearness in his sovereignty in sustaining our world, but we see his nearness in that he is the one who raises one up to rule and brings one down in a judgment. You know, our own nation, as we consider and we're entering into the political season and we have another presidential election coming up, we need to remember that we do not put our trust in who is president. We do not put our trust in what political party is in control. Our trust is in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who raises up and puts in power those he desires, and the one who removes them from office. But we can take comfort in that he is the one who is sovereign. And he is not a God far off, where the political workings of the world are not an interest to him. But he is the one who governs them. We also see his nearness in his making ready judgment. In verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. This is a comfort for us, and it shows God's nearness in that one of the things that we sometimes hear from those who leave the faith or continue to rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ is that they look out at the world and they see evil that is there. And they wonder why, if God is good and all-powerful, why he is not doing something about it. Verse 8 is a comfort to us, and we know that God is near, and that the wicked things of the world do not go unnoticed by him. And as we'll be looking at, Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, where Peter calls us in 2 Peter not to count the slowness of God as slowness, as far as dealing with the evil of the earth. God is patient, and he is waiting for his appointed time. But this psalm reminds us that he is preparing that cup, that all who reject him and all who joyously practice evil in the world will drink to the very dregs. All things, brothers and sisters, as Paul reminds us in Romans 8:38, all things work for the good of those who are called according to God's good purpose. And we see God's nearness in his sovereign hand in sustaining the earth, in establishing its governing rulers, in preparing the judgment for those who reject him. And thirdly, in this psalm, we see, and we are to give thanks for God's nearness seen in his redemption. In verses 9 to 10, "But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up." We're called here to give thanks, first of all, in the context of forever. It is something that is declared forever. It's a reference to the fact that God's people will be giving thanks forever. It's a looking towards that great and glorious time when all wickedness, the horns of all wickedness, the power and the might and the strength of all that is evil and wicked in God's creation will be completely and totally cut off. And instead, the horns, the power, the righteousness, the glory of his people in Jesus Christ will be established forever. And so we will there in glory declare the thanksgiving of God, the praises of God for eternity. It will never end. This points us to the glorious redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. He is our King. We have sung in some of the psalms that were chosen this morning and picked this morning by you. We have sung in God's providence of his King being established and his King being saved and his King being delivered. And that all points to the one true King, our Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for us, who was oppressed and humbled and beaten upon the cross. And in God's grace and power at his hand, he was delivered. He broke free from the bonds of death, and he ascended on high where he reigns and governs his kingdom that will never end and go throughout all eternity. In one of the prayers, we were reminded to thank God especially this day. Not for the good food that we'll eat, which we should give thanks. Not for the just for the houses that we get to be warm in and comfortable in. Not just for the clothes that we wear and have been provided. But ultimately for that great need that God has supplied. That great need that God has supplied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of our eternal salvation. And so, brothers and sisters, we are called this morning to give thanks to God, for he is a God who is near. And his nearness is seen in the wonders that he has done for us. It is seen in his sovereign care of his creation, and it is seen ultimately in his work of redemption, and that he hears the cries of his people and delivers us in Christ. And so let us give thanks to our God, for he is near. Amen. Our gracious God, we do thank you that you are a God who is near, that you are not a God who is far off, that you hear us, you display your mighty hand in the wonders that you have done. You show, Lord, your sovereign care of this world, especially, Lord, of your people. We see it ultimately, Lord, in the redemptive work that we see in our Lord Jesus Christ. You indeed are not a God who is far off, but you are near. For that we give you thanks. Amen.